Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upon this ummah, upon the believers, the nation of the Muslims, has given his special mercy, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sadqah, his presence, his coming was a sadqah, a great mercy to the ummah. And in the year we have Eid al-Fitr and we have Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Fitr went after Ramadan, and alhamdulillah we are in the time of Eid al-Adha, the second Eid in Dhul Hajj, which is passing by us. And we call this happiness. Allah Ta'ala has given us these moments, these days for happiness. And these are happiness in the sense that from Allah, Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. Allah Ta'ala has selected these days for us, that you can become happy and be happy in these days. And this is a great thing. Allah Ta'ala has given us 2 days holiday, total holiday. First class, eat as you wish, drink what you desire, wear nice clothes, and enjoy yourself. And the more you enjoy yourself, the more reward I will give to you, Allah Ta'ala says. This is the mercy of Allah. Beautiful. Sometimes Allah feeds us, sometimes Allah Ta'ala doesn't feed us. Isn't it? But here in Eid, Allah Ta'ala says, eat as much as you want. Eat sweet, and eat and drink and enjoy. MashaAllah. And Eid al-Adha, eat as much meat as you can. Celebrate and sacrifice as much as you can, and eat as much as you can. And enjoy yourself. Wear nice clothes, wear fragrance. Within the boundaries of the Sharia, enjoy yourself as much as you can. Total nice freedom. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you total deal for eating, for drinking, for relaxing, for resting, for enjoying yourself. Why has Allah Ta'ala given us these 2 days, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, happiness, enjoyment, eat, drink, relax? What's the reason for this? The reason that I understand for this is that these 2 days, before these 2 days of happiness, Allah Ta'ala gave us two duties, two hukams, two orders, two. In Eid al-Fitr, Allah Ta'ala said, before Eid al-Fitr, Allah ordered us to leave the food, to leave the drink, Ramadan, for fast. Yes? One order, leave the food and the drink. And this is fasting, Sayyam. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we understood this clearly, what Allah Ta'ala ordered us to do. We understood this very easily, simply. Allah Ta'ala told the ummah, this is the hukum of Allah, the order of Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives other orders, this was also a hukum in Ramadan, no difference. We understood it easily, clearly, simply. We understand fasting so easy that from now we are preparing for Ramadan next year. Pakoras, bajis, 2 months before, samosas, preparation, fridges filled, food, masjid is decorated, we've got to get ready for Ramadan, preparations, logistics. Time and time again, people come from other countries preparing for the Ramadan month. Where are we going to spend Ramadan? So we understand Ramadan easily. And Taraweeh, yes, I'll pray Taraweeh. All night long you'll stand in sujood and you'll pray and read Quran and listen to Quran. Yes, and how dare we say we won't, and we'll eat during the day and we'll drink. Because no, we will fast 100%. We will. Do we try? Yes, we do. So Allah Ta'ala says, MashaAllah, you fulfill my order. Go, holiday, Eid al-Fitr, relax, enjoy yourself, happiness. And the other Eid is the same. Allah Ta'ala gave us one order. And that order Allah Ta'ala didn't give to everyone, to special selected people who had the means to go to Allah Ta'ala's house, to travel to Arafat, to go around the Kaaba, take their clothes off, wear the ihram, follow Allah Ta'ala's orders, recite Allah Ta'ala's name, recite the takbirs. That's Allah Ta'ala's order. Nothing on their heads, nothing on their feet. And their legs may not be able to raise easy. They may not be able to walk easy. To the women, Allah says, take the niqab off your face. Don't cover your face. Don't let the cloth touch your nose, your face, your mouth. This is the ihram for the woman. The woman has to listen. So whatever the orders come, they fulfill. And from those orders, most extreme and extra is that, look how many Muslims there are in the world. 1 billion, more than that. And how many people went to Hajj? 3 or 4 million. Maybe less, maybe more. So Allah Ta'ala gave the hukum to everybody that if you have the means, go on Hajj. And they, the people who went on Hajj, they reached there, they arrived there, and they are representing the ummah. They are representing us. Allah Ta'ala said, go, you have completed my order and you have fulfilled it on everyone's behalf. My order. So both actions and both are complete, and Allah Ta'ala gives us the days of Eid to celebrate and to be happy. But behind these two, there are two orders. Fasting in Ramadan and the order of Hajj before Eid al-Adha. And after fulfilling the orders, we get the happiness. Like today was Eid, day of happiness with Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan. To me, it seems that you will have felt the same, that these are total unique days, different days. The world looks different, the morning's different, it feels different. And the next day after Eid, it's like we're in a different world. To me, it looks like this. You don't realize where you are. Am I in the same place? What am I eating, drinking? And the happiness is diminished. And on Eid, you are meeting people. There's happiness. And there's so much peace and tranquility. And the next day, there's also happiness. For example, someone's happy for getting a new car or a new house or something you've acquired. You get happiness during the year. But the happiness of Eid is unique. It's so special. It's an inner feeling. And in this happiness, there are two things. There are two things in the heart that are unique and separate to the other happiness that we feel during the year. The emotions, the feeling. MashaAllah, you brothers will understand what I'm saying. The happiness of Eid is very special, very specific. Even the children, they feel a deep sense of happiness and emotion, and they have a special like effect of that day of Eid, and the feeling in the heart is different, is separate from all the other days. Is not the case, what I'm saying? Don't you feel like this today? That today you're ajeeb, unique, beautiful, you're enjoying, you're eating, you're talking, you're meeting people, there's happiness being exchanged and love and muhabbat. This is a unique feeling on Eid. So this is unique, and if we think about this for a while, in this ajeez's heart, a feeling, this humble servant, think sometimes, thoughts come in, if you like what I'm saying, take them, accept them, if not then eliminate them. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a message on these 2 days of Eid, that look, my creation, you fulfilled one of my orders. Isn't it one order, Ramadan, and there's one order for the hajis, but this month of the hajj, there's one hukm, that if you have the means, you go on hajj. Allah says, you accepted my hajj order and I give you happiness of Eid, and all of the other happiness that comes, Allah Ta'ala says, is from me, that is due to our actions, a house or a car or something in the world. And where's this happiness emanating from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the happiness emanates from Allah, then the enjoyment of that happiness, the fulfillment of the happiness, the physical implementation of the happiness is very unique. Allah's given a message here that you completed and carried out one of my orders, so this happiness came from me, the happiness of Eid. And Allah Ta'ala says, the unique feeling of the happiness, all of you know. But Allah says, I'm just showing you a small glimpse of my happiness for carrying out, implementing my orders. That you're feeling the happiness due to fulfilling one of my orders, to implementing and carrying out. Allah says, this is just a glimpse, a little glance. But when you complete all of my orders and you get Jannah, paradise, then imagine the happiness you will feel. Imagine the happiness you will experience. Allah says, I've shown you a small glimpse and jalak. And in reality, the happiness of Eid, it links to the happiness and the beauty of Jannah and Paradise. Allah says, one order gave you, Dhil Hajj, go on Hajj if you have the means, or carry out the actions of Dhil Hajj, and you get the happiness of Eid al-Adha. But when you go into Paradise due to following and implementing all my hakams, then imagine the happiness you will feel and get and obtain in Paradise. Imagine. So the order here is, the brothers, that for one order of Allah, you got the happiness of Eid al-Adha. Don't spend your whole life based on this one happiness. Well, Allah says, why don't you follow my words and direction and guidance? Don't just stick to one day in the year, one event. And this is the reality. Those people who spend their lives totally in implementing Allah Ta'ala's orders, their whole life is Eid. The Muslim, his whole life is Eid. He's not looking for the new moon after the next, the previous month. Every day is Eid for a Muslim. Every day is a new experience, enhancement to his iman and his life. And as I said, the happiness on Eid al-Adha is so unique. Why? Because it's coming from Allah. And it's a piece, a glimpse of the happiness that will be felt in Jannah Paradise. And in this world, we can live and loot the treasures and happiness of Jannah. Am I right or am I wrong? What do we do? Weird. What do we do? We make a mistake on the day of happiness. We immerse ourselves, drown ourselves so much in happiness, and then sometimes we go a bit to left and right. We used to pray salah before the day of Eid, and today I see less brothers here than normal, because it's Eid. Some people said, is there zikr today? Today's Eid. Is there going to be zikr? Is there going to be a gathering? Is it going to be zikr today as well? It's Eid. Allah, is zikr going to be today as well? But it's Eid. But if there's happiness and Eid, then dhikr is everything, isn't it? So why shouldn't we have the gathering today? What is the mistake we made? Soon as the day we should do dhikr, we leave dhikr on that day. The day we should do dhikr, we leave dhikr. Then look at the Sahaba ikram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Salman Farsi, may Allah be pleased with him, radiyallahu anhu, great beloved Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every companion had his level, his status, his uniqueness. And when you speak to one sahabi, you think that sahabi, when you dwell and study one sahabi, you will think that, is this the greatest sahabi? Every sahabi was separate, unique, and like a star in the sky shining uniquely. So when you read up about a sahabi, a companion, you think that he is great. Was there any other sahabi like this? But in reality, all of them were great. And Hazrat Salman Farsi, his maqam, his status, his level was great. And many events in his life, many times where he demonstrated and showed through his example great lessons for us. And Hazrat Salman Farsi, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a unique companion. He looked different. He was different. His examples and actions were different and unique and teach us beautiful lessons that maybe we can't get from other people, from other sahaba. There's a very long story event, but he was a slave who emanated from another country, and he had a master from a different religion, and that story continues. He got to a Yahudi who was his master, a Jew, a great sahabi, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he paid somebody gold to free Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu. So he was the slave that was freed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And secondly, the uniqueness of Hazrat Salman Farsi, about we should be so very proud and envy him, that the Battle of the Trench, the event of Khandaq, and that time, then that was the advice of Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu, who advised to build the trench, and it was a very lengthy, you can say, event, and the Ansar and Muhajirun, they were a difference of opinion upon this point. What was the difference? They said Salman Farsi is ours, and the Ansari said he is ours. The Muhajirun said, no, Hazrat Salman Farsi is ours. And the Ansar said, no, he is ours, he's from us. And this debate grew in intensity, and who is going to give the answer and the decision of justice? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when this difference of opinion grew up, then Rasulullah did a beautiful, unique decision. Oh, Salman Farsi, your destiny was so great. Rasulullah said, he's not yours, Ansar, he's not yours, Muhajirun, he's mine. He is from the Ahle Bayt. Subhanallah, what a great status Hazrat Salman Farsi got from Rasulullah. He brought him into his family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And the Holy Prophet, the master of the two worlds, when he says something, it becomes firm. It's set in stone. And he became a member of the family. Simple as that. He was included in the Ahlul Bayt, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. So we see that, mashallah, from the Asaba, in the Asaba Sufa, in the platform, the raised platform in front of Rasulullah's house, he was from amongst the Asaba Sufa, who would sit there. They lived the lives of poverty, remembrance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night. Great high maqam he had. If we think for a few moments about this sahabi, what a great level Allah Ta'ala gave him, what a rank he attained from Allah. When a person achieves a rank and a status, what happens? He becomes a bit big-headed, like today in the dunya, and he forgets Allah, or she forgets dunya. But what a beautiful generation. The sahaba were great. They had a direct link with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were so ajeeb and unique and brilliant, fantastic personalities. They never forgot their Lord or what they were. He became hakim. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he made Hazrat Salman Farsi hakim, rule over servant province. And he became the governor of that province. And he must have had a big responsibility and big decisions he had to make. And he had maqamats from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. He didn't have a home, he was a governor. And sometimes he would sleep in the shade of the tree, sometimes he'd rest against a wall or something that could support him. He'd sit there, he never had a home, no luxuries. And he had a black blanket and that's it. To this extent, his life of poverty reached to this limit that once he was passing through the shopping center, the bazaar, and somebody needed a worker at that time. This is the governor of his time. And someone shouted to him, will you work for me? He said, yes. He said, pick up these goods and move them for me. He's the governor. Think. So he took somebody past him who knew him. He said, Hakim, what are you doing? Why are you gathering? Why are you lifting these goods? Whose is this? When that master saw this, the employer, he was ashamed. He started dripping in sweat. He said, for the sake of Allah, governor, please drop these goods from your head, from your shoulders. Allah, what a lesson he taught us. He said, Hazrat Salman Farsi, the governor, Salman has promised and he will fulfill this order. He will take your goods to your home. This was the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What tarbiyat. What great lessons for us. He had no love of dunya. He didn't even know what was dunya. He had no regard for the dunya. And Ashik, what a lover. How? Allahu Akbar. 50 years old. 250 years old, and he passed away in Madain. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh, when he realized, he traveled from Medina to give him ghusl, and he passed the night there, and he was great. He was buried where? In Madain. And another point, let me tell you, the brothers in Naqshbandi silsila, the ilm from your batin is from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this silsila, Naqshbandi, starts from Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and it goes through Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. He is included in the chain of, because his link batini spiritually was with Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Salman Farsi. From Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, and it continued from there. And he was buried in Madain. Hazrat Ali gave him ghusl, he came himself. Great personality, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, came, gave ghusl, and he was buried. Then Hazrat Ali went back. Subhanallah. So this great insan, personality, human being, sahabi, radiallahu anhu, what a great rank he had. But poverty, simplicity, humbleness, no comforts, no luxuries, lowering himself, ijz and kasari, how so humble, lowered himself, and he represented the sahaba, and he represented humanity, and he showed the demonstration what a human should be. A human being, a sahabi, doesn't get elevated due to money, or rank, or wealth. Rather, the more he gets higher in rank to Allah, the more he lowers himself. The more he becomes simple. Brothers, we are practicing Sufism. The science of tazkiyah, purification of the heart and the soul. We have to do muhasabah, reflect, ponder. After hajj, do I want to become haji? Will I want the title of haji, or do I cry over my sins? Do I cry over my sins? And how was he an ashik, a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Person who has ishq, love, then his life passes as a lover of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before death, he was crying a lot. Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu was crying. Someone said, Hazrat, why are you crying? You're such a great sahabi. You're so great a believer, a Muslim. Why are you crying? Why are you? What are you afraid of? And what an answer he gave. What a lover he was. What an answer he gave. He radhiyallahu anhu said that I'm not crying for the world or loss of the world or reduction of the dunya or not for any other reason. What will happen to me? I have one fear. One thing I'm scared of, that very quickly I'm about to pass away. And I have a fear and a worry that due to my sins, will I be able, will I lose the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I feel and I fear the loss of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I won't be able to do his didar and see him in my vision. Allahu Akbar. This is why he was crying. MashaAllah. So I've given you the example and the status, and I was speaking about happiness in the beginning. And Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu, I will mention you a hadith with regards to happiness. It's a practical day that's just passed, the day of Eid al-Adha and the days of Eidain. They are practical days, days of happiness. And Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu said that in happiness, at the time of happiness, when a person is in good times, happy times, like today was the day of Eid, a day of happiness. When a believer believes Allah, in Allah, and does Allah Ta'ala's dhikr at the time of happiness, then Allah Ta'ala has selected special angels for special occasions, for special duties. And there are special angels who are appointed for such servants of Allah, that those people in the days of happiness, in conditions of goodness, in wealth and health and vitality and nourishment and energy, they're not lazy of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. They remember Allah, they don't forget Allah, they don't forget their Rabb in the days of happiness. Like today, Eid al-Adha is a day of happiness. Allah says, eat, drink, and then forget Allah? No, we shouldn't be ghafil. Allah Ta'ala orders, the more you eat, the more you drink, enjoy, wear good clothes, relax. But remember one thing, in these 2 days, don't be lazy and negligent for my remembrance. Don't forget my remembrance, Allah says. Don't forget my dhikr. Definitely do my dhikr. Allah automatically has made it easy for us. Allah has made it easy for us. This hadith that we have heard today, we should also implement this hadith. It's stated that the angels, they become detached from those people who don't do dhikr. And they're looking for those people who are doing dhikr. And the dunya is up and down. Sometimes there's dhikr, sometimes there's happiness, sometimes sadness. Sometimes business is up, sometimes down. Sometimes your health is up, sometimes something is down. There are two things that go along with you. Always, there's nothing constant, steady, equilibrium. There will always be ups and there will be downs. Allah says up, down, up, down. This is all a part of the life and the journey of life. The person who doesn't forget Allah in the times of happiness, Eid comes, he keeps his mamula. Did you all do your dhikr? Did you fulfill your lessons? Did you do all your lessons? Or did you say, oh, today's Eid, oh, it's a day off. Oh, today I'll just eat gosht and meat and chicken, and tomorrow we'll go back to normal. Oh, today's Thursday night. Is it necessary for zikr today? Oh, it's night of Eid. Okay, we'll do it tomorrow, zikr. These are the tests and the challenges from Allah. So there are angels appointed. Everyone say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved us. Allah has given us the beautiful opportunity again to come, and we have remembered Allah. So those angels, they seek, they look, and tomorrow maybe the bad days will come, maybe down days will come. So what happens when the bad days come, when the difficult days come? Then Allah Ta'ala asks those angels, Allah Ta'ala requests them. And the angels say, Allah, this servant of yours, he's in the difficulty, he's got a big debt, he's got difficulties, he's got illnesses, he's got issues in his life, he's got problems. He was very healthy before, now he's very unhealthy. You know, this happens, isn't it? When a problem comes, for example, you're on the motorway, the car punctures, and you don't know how to change the tire. Someone like me is a big problem changing the tire. I'm standing there, the tire's punctured. How do I put the spare tire on? Alhamdulillah. If I'm the person who does dhikr, and I do dhikr in happiness, then inshallah Allah will send an angel and he will change the tire for me. Allah will send assistance. In the form of the human being, the angel will come. Brother, why are you standing here? What's the problem? Oh, by sab, I've got a puncture. He said, okay, I'll help you change the tie for you. And you'll say, this is not a human being, this is an angel. I used to do dhikr of Allah in the day of Eid, and Allah is helping me today. So has your dhikr not helped you, assisted you? Tell me. So if you crush your desires, no, I don't have to do dhikr today. It's Eid, this holiday, let's go out. But no, we'll go today, we'll sit with Hazrat, we'll do dhikr, we'll learn. So there was the opposition to dhikr, and you did the dhikr of Allah. Nafs tried to take you away, and you battled with the nafs and shaitan, and you overcame them, and you went towards Allah. When you win the battle against shaitan and nafs, and you make the strong friendship with Allah on the days of happiness, ease, then on the bad days, the down days, the angel will say, Allah, he's your servant. He never left your remembrance, Allah. On the days of happiness, even he was with you. Every majlis, every gathering, he used to come. He never left you, Allah. Never left your side. Ah, maybe there was a day of difficulty or issues he had to, but normality, never he left you. Not for nafs. No, chalo, let's leave it today. He never left you, Allah. Never left your remembrance for nothing. No gathering for nothing. For no glitter or glow or happiness of the world. And subhanAllah, I am explaining to you that when a person is like this, then Allah Ta'ala never allows a problem to come in his life. Very few people like this are ill. Very few people who are dhakir, remember Allah in all times, good and bad, will get problems or issues or difficulties or illnesses in their life. Very few you will see that individual who's ill to such an extent. He may be ill, but you'll never get ill to that extent that physically he can't come, because Allah Ta'ala sends him physically to the dhikr of Allah's gathering, to his dhikr's gathering. I've seen our pious predecessors like this. Allah Ta'ala never lets an illness come to him that overtakes him and stops him, prevents him from going to dhikr. Very few moments there will be where they're not included or in the gathering of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, tests do come, trials do come, challenges do come in life, but mostly the dhakir, they won't get problems. So will you continue to do dhikr and your mamluat and lessons every day? Say inshallah. So your angels will be your friend, and they will bear witness on the day of judgment for you. And they will say to Allah, Allah, forgive this person because he always remembered you. Brothers, in the heavens, when they plead for your forgiveness and for Allah Ta'ala to forgive you, then in the earth also, there are angels who ask Allah and do dua for you. Subhanallah. So why do we seek the means and go through the means to ask from Allah? Allah Ta'ala, when we are living and remembering Allah on the days of happiness, then Allah Ta'ala, why does he ask the angels rather than directly forgive us? Why does Allah ask the angels, what is this person doing? My creation, what was he doing? Allah Ta'ala could say himself, I've heard him do my dhikr, I forgive him. He's out of Jahannam. But this is the sunnah ilahi. There's a hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this practice, where Allah ta'ala asks the angels and asks them to give their witness testimony that what did these servants and the human beings do for me or say to me. So Allah ta'ala puts the angels in the heavens and the walis of Allah in the earth. Say subhanallah again. And the walis of Allah, they have a link with Allah. And this link that is made with Allah is not for nothing. This is bi-idhnillah. No one can dare that he says to Allah, Allah, please forgive this person because he remembered you. Except if Allah does not ask him and give him permission to give the witness statement. And with the hukum of Allah will come the witness statement. So when the walis of Allah raise their hands and do dua for the population of the world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, then we ask Allah, we do dua to Allah through the wasta, the wasila of the walis of Allah in the world. So Allah ta'ala says, just like I send the angels to look, to bring back the statements that what did this man do? Allah is khabir and basir and alim. Allah knows. And the angels say, Allah, this servant of yours, he got to the masjid in the morning, in the evening, he did your dhikr, he remembered you, he recited these kalamats. So Allah Ta'ala says that, yes, I know. And the angels say, Allah, please take him out of this difficulty that he's got at the moment. Allah says, okay, I accept your request, O angels. But Allah could have done this directly. And secondly, we talk about the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. When there's the time of happiness, a person, a servant of Allah, we think it's us, and all the happiness is due to us, and everything we've earned is due to us. And when difficulties come, we think they're coming from somewhere else, not from Allah. I don't need to do dhikr. I don't need to remember Allah. I don't need to make effort or spend minutes and hours in Allah. Why do I need to do this? I'm successful. I've got dunya. Okay, when I've got time, sometime in my life. Otherwise, let's just spend time joking and jesting and wasting time. There's another party. There's another group of people. But what will happen? Difficulties will definitely come to these people. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, for which people is this hadith for? This is not just for the walis of Allah. Yes, he was a sahabi, and I've told you a little bit about him. And I say again that Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said that when difficulty comes, what does the servant do? He grabs hold of the tasbih, starts saying, Allah, Allah, subhanallah, dhikr of Allah. And what's the answer that comes? The angels say to the person, that now you are remembering Allah. Where were you at that time when you were in the masjid or when you were in the world and you had all the ease and you never remembered Allah? Now the troubles come, the problems come, now you're running to Allah. And this is the example like at the time of Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that when Fir'aun was about to drown and die, then he remembered he had to call out to Allah. Then he started to remember Allah. What did Allah Ta'ala say to him? What was the reply to him? What was the answer? Allah said, now you are remembering me. At this time, Allah says, after all of what I gave you, where were you before this? And now you've got difficulties, you're about to die. Now you remember Allah, now you will continue to drown. There's nobody that can save you. No angel can save you, and nor will I listen to you either, Allah Ta'ala said. So brothers, this is a big lesson for us. A big lesson for us. So we should keep on doing dua that Allah give us the tawfiq, that whether it's happiness or sadness, good times or bad times, high times or low times, the servant of Allah should do just one thing, continue to remember his Lord, never be lazy, negligent from Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Every second moment, happiness, sadness, greatness, low, high, whatever is the moment, the occasion, the day, the year, wherever you are, in every maqam, you do the dhikr of Allah. Doesn't Allah Ta'ala say to the hajis, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, do my dhikr. Everywhere, Makkah, Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah. And when Hajj finishes, Allah says, these are the days, Tashri, Yawmun Tashri. These are the days for my dhikr to remember me. So brothers, this is the message. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, great gift, great name of Allah. Don't bring any excuse into your life. No days, no months, no weeks, because happiness, sadness will continue to come. Grab hold of Allah Ta'ala's assistance. No other assistance is needed. Don't ever be lazy or run away from the dhikr of Allah. Doesn't matter how much you have to travel, how far you have to go, how much you have to crush your desires. As long as there's no sharia, as long as there's no valid, genuine excuse that you can't attend dhikr, fair enough. Otherwise, a dhakir who remembers Allah, it does not befit his status that he is negligent and lazy any day of his life. Allah says, you remember me, I will remember you. فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. What a great status Allah has given to us. What a great maqam Allah has given to us. To the dhakireen. فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah says, you remember me, Allah says, I will remember you. Imagine Allah remembering us and we fall down from that pedestal. No, every second, every moment, happiness, sadness, whatever's happening, Allah will solve the problems. Allah will solve our issues. Allah will straighten our problems. No power of the world can even make a leaf move without the will of Allah. Allah has promised, you keep doing my dhikr, and the angels have appointed, they will plead for your salvation, and I will continue to accept their pleading. Recite Durood Sharif.